Do you remember anything about World War One?
Well, all I remember is that it started in 1917, mm-hmm. and my uncles were threatened to be put in the service if they didn't buy Liberty Bonds, mm-hmm. and my stepfather was in the war and got gassed in France, and that's all I can remember of it.
Okay. Do you remember anything about Prohibition?
Mm-hmm. All I know is that the United States was dry, and they used to run whiskey from Canada to the United States across the Detroit River, and then gangsters would hijack the boats and whatever.
Well, yeah, but they used to bootleg it then from Detroit to Toledo.
Yeah, they used to bootleg it from Detroit to Toledo and all over the United States, as far as that goes.
And if you wanted any beer to drink, you had to make your own.
It wasn't beer, it was whiskey.
You had to make your own if you wanted anything to drink.
Well, yeah.
Was it illegal to make your own beer in your own house?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was.
You had to be very careful if you wanted to make your own beer. Mm-hmm. But then certain people knew who made it, and so if you wanted to be in the business, why, you made it, and then you... They would come and you knew a certain spot, they would take it to a certain spot and leave it, and then they would come and pick it up, and that's how they got their drinks. Mm-hmm. So that's all I remember about.
Okay. What about the minority groups in the 30s?
Well, minority groups. They were the people that didn't have any money. Of course, nobody had any money then, hardly. Very, very few. They didn't have any food stamps or anything like that to keep them. They just had to go out and dig for themselves, or they went without. And as far as Negroes, I never heard them called Negroes. They were always called niggers. I didn't know any different. We never had any in this part of the country, so we never got to know what they were like or anything like that. And that's, everybody was poor, really. And that's just about all I know about that.
Do you have any other minority groups around here, like Jewish people or Italians?
No, we had no Spanish, no black people. We had quite a few Polish people, but they were all really nice people, all of those, but that's just about all that they were.
Roles of women back in the 30s?
Well, that's a good question. Women, they worked out in the fields. They didn't work out away from home or anything. They helped do the farming. They done all the baking, all the washing, on the scrub board. And they had to clean the house, have the kids, raise the kids. And do chores, and that was just about all the women did. They made their own clothes, and they belonged to church socials and quilting bees and stuff like that, but they more or less was home people. Of course, they helped out in the barns. Saw that their families was taken care of and stuff like that.
What kind of pay did they get compared to men back then?
Women?
Yeah.
I didn't know of a woman that went out and worked. Well, they would maybe work in homes for different people, like as maids and mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And maybe they got $5 a week. Something like that. Some of them, they stayed right in the home, and other ones, they would just go by the day. But wages weren't too high then.
Did many women work or not?
Not too many. I mean, if you had a husband and a farm and or a husband that worked out, you stayed at home. The only reason you worked was when you had to go out and make some money. Like if you were alone and no husband or anything and had to keep the kids or something, then you went out and found work to do. I know I picked raspberries. I picked strawberries. Only I wasn't married at the time.
How much did you make for doing that?
I got a cent a quart for strawberries and a cent and a quarter for raspberries. And I did work in a canning factory peeling tomatoes. And a 7-gallon pail of tomatoes full after they were peeled, I got 7 cents for a 7-gallon pail of tomatoes.
How many pails would you usually fill in a day?
Well, when you start at the head of the line where you had to pick your tomatoes, I used to peel 100 pails a day. That was $7. But when you got down to the end of the line where you had the bad ones to pick out of, why, then you couldn't do maybe 10, 15, 20 pails a day. And then you got paid once a week. They kept track of your pails. And once a week you got your check. That's what the women did.
What was family life like in the 30s?
Well, that was in horse and buggy days. We used to go visiting in the horse and buggy, the whole family. And go to church. And we would more or less do things together. We didn't have any lights, so we had to read by kerosene light. A few people had radios, and that was something. If somebody had a radio, you went over there for a house to hear Amos and Andy and all them, and you could gather on a Saturday night and listen to the Grand Ole Opry. And
what kind of music was played on the radios?
Well, a lot of country and western music was played. And they would have like church services on the radio on Sunday morning. And really, we went on picnics. We would get the whole family and meet at a certain place and have a picnic or have a home gathering and make homemade ice cream and stuff like that. But
did a lot of things together then?
Oh yes, big families. I mean, not just your family, the whole relation would get together for big outings on a Sunday or and they visited a lot more than they do now. Sunday was visiting day. You just went and visited all the relations. You never worked on Sunday. That was one day you didn't work. You just
there weren't any stores open or anything?
Oh, no. Never any stores or nothing was open on Sunday. Nothing but you went to church in the morning and you came home and you had your big dinner. In the afternoon was to go visit family and relatives and stuff like that. The rest of the week was hard working days. Worked really hard then. That's more or less family. They just was close and they did everything together.
What kind of work did you do when you was a kid?
Well, I blocked sugar beets.
For how much an hour?
At 10 cents an hour. 10 hours a day. Sometimes longer, and get paid for 10 hours, that is. And then I worked down to the onion marsh, weeding onions, crawling my hands and knees, make two rows a day, one in the morning and one back, mile each. And I got tired of that, and I then went down to Monroe, where I was building houses, and I got a job of construction work, running a cement mixer, and that paid $2.50 an hour.
Was that pretty good money back then?
Yes, it was. Very good then. And everybody didn't have cars them days. They had no Model T. So that's about the...
Well, you went to Toledo then?
Well, afterwards, yeah.
But that was in the 30s when you went to Toledo.
Was it? Well, I was still in construction work, and I went to Toledo and worked for a few years.
I took apprenticeship up for brick.
And then I become a bricklayer, and that's just about what I'd done the rest of the time.
So you retired?
Till retirement. Well, you got paid.
Well, as I said before, I didn't. I did go out and do a lot of housework, and like pick straw piles, strawberries and raspberries, but I went to work for different families. When somebody was going to have a baby, I went and stayed there and took care of the baby and took care of the family and worked for them until the woman was able to get up and get around and do her own work.
What kind of money do you get for that?
Well, the most I ever got was $7 a week. I used to, one other place, I got $5. And if some emergency would come up in the family, I was always the one that had to go and stay at their house and work there until it was everything was all straightened out. My aunt went in the hospital for surgery. I had to go there and take care of the kids and keep the house. And of course, there was no money in that because you didn't charge your relation anything when you did something for them then. And as I said, I went to the canning factory and worked. And that's just about the only place I ever worked out.
What were schools like back then?
Well, I lived on my grandfather's farm at the time, and the schoolhouse was about 3/4 mile away, and we had to walk to school.
They were just
one-room schoolhouse.
How many people were in a classroom?
Up through the 8th grade.
About 50, 60, according to how big your area was for your school.
And, let's see, what else? Oh, used to walk across the fields, over fences and all, on the top of the snow. It was that high, and it was froze hard and cold us, so we didn't fall through. And the only country schools only went to the 8th grade, and our folks didn't have money to send us to high school or no way to get there, so. The 8th grade is about all that most everyone made.
Did a lot of people go to high school, or couldn't they
not
afford it? Or
no, not too many.
If you lived in town and could walk to high school, you most generally went to high school. But if you lived out in the country and you had like 8-10 miles to walk into town, there was no way you could get there because they didn't have no transportation. You would have had to walk. And that's what my parents told me, that if you want to go to high school, you got to walk. Well, I couldn't, no way could I walk. So I never got past the 8th grade. But we had long ways to walk even to these little schools, too. And I never do remember a school being called off for weather or anything. You went regardless. Because you had to walk, and you knew you had to walk, so you just got out and you just bundled up and you just took off, you know. And the teachers, like, they didn't live around where they taught at all. Ours was from Adrian, and lots of times they would stay at some
farmhouse,
some family right around school, so that they could get there because they didn't have any transportation either. They didn't have any cars or anything either. A lot of them didn't. And, of course, then they didn't have all these extra classes. You had your reading, writing, and arithmetic, and geography, and spelling, and that was it.
Did you go the whole year?
Oh, yeah. We went just like they do now. Yeah,
we had summer vacation.
Yeah, but I mean like they do now.
So you want about the same time as you do now?
Yeah, like they do now. Yeah, we had our 3 months school vacation. But none of these other classes like they just had the basics. That's all there was to it then.
You didn't have much of a choice of classes then?
No, you took what they had. That was it. He had no sports of any kind. The only thing we played was like ball. We'd get a game out in the backyard at recess or lunch or stuff like that. But
so there was no school activities or anything going on. You just went to school and went back home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing extra went on. Oh, they would put on like a Christmas play or something around Christmas time. By then they would have a play. And that was the biggest event of all. You know, cause that's the only time we did anything like that. Well, we would have like picnics and stuff, you know, at certain times too, right there at the school. But we never went anywhere away from the school to do anything. That's all I can remember about schools. Grant?
Well, at Christmas time they'd have a Christmas evening, a Christmas tree, and candles on it with the fire burning, wax candles, which is a wonder that they didn't catch fire and burn the school down, but never did. And you wanted to get to school, you didn't jump in the car and go, you walked. And that's about all I can remember.
What were the first automobiles like?
Well, all the farmers, and that's about all there was around our community, is farmers, and they had old Model Ts. My uncle had a 17 Model T, which new cost a little over $300. No paved roads, and they would go through mud. Nothing could seem to stop them. A little bit of snow, or big snow, they didn't have no road crews to scrape the snow or salt the roads. You just went. If you didn't go, couldn't go, then you stayed to home. Yes.
How many people could afford automobiles?
Well, at that time, not too many people had automobiles.
I remember my dad. What year was that Essex that he had?
26, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
26 Essex.
We were staying with my grandmother, and he was working for the railroad out here. And Petersburg Road was dirt. And Petersburg-Savannah Road was dirt. Ida Center Road was dirt. And when he was coming home, when he turned off of Petersburg-Savannah Road on Ida Center Road, we could hear him coming up that exit, Essex, from the time he left Petersburg Road till he got home where we was, and that was how many miles?
Three or more.
Oh, that was one more than three.
Ida Center is, from Petersburg Road to the county line, is 3 miles.
Oh, okay. It was 3-4 miles. It was so loud.
Well, it was a high-speed motor. And it just revved up and sounded like an airplane almost.
Motors break down a lot, or you have to repair them a lot?
Yeah. We used to have to keep putting bands in the Model T transmissions.
Your granddad was always working on these cars.
No brakes at that time to speak of, just two-wheel brakes in the rear end. And sometimes one would slide and then the other one, and maybe you'd stop and maybe you wouldn't. What do you know? Anything?
Not too much more. I never drove a mobile in. I didn't learn until the very late 30s before I learned how to drive.
When did we get married?
Could anybody drive one? Did you have to take a certain test to drive
it? No, driver's license.
Yeah, you didn't at first, but then later you had to get a driver's license, and they were supposed to last for life, but then they changed that, so you used to have to get them every year,
I
think.
Did you have to take a test, though?
No.
You
didn't have no place to take a test at that time.
You just went and got them, right?
Could did you have to be a certain age, or could anybody get one?
Yeah, I think you had to be. I don't really know.
Yeah, but kids used to drive them when they was young.
Well, yeah.
Somebody got after them. It's out in the country, and they just get in it and take it.
There was no police around or anything at that time, state police or whatever. So you could just drive to suit yourself.
What do you remember about the Depression of the 1930s?
Well, I know that a lot of people in the stock market lost the money they did have. Farmers was losing their farms, and you was lucky if you had anything to eat in the house.
People were committing suicide.
Yeah. When the stock market fell in 29, quite a few of 29 is when the stock markets went broke. And all the banks was closing, and if you had money in the bank,
it wasn't insured either.
No, it wasn't insured, and you lost your money. You never did get it, what you had in it, if any. And, well, it just wasn't very good times, at least, that's for sure.
I remember when I was going, they used to have grocery trucks come right around to your door, you know. They had groceries, a whole bunch of groceries, and they'd come out and stop at everybody's door. And I would have to take the eggs out and exchange it for groceries, you know. And I remember one day I took a half a dozen eggs out, and they were 9 cents a dozen. And I got a half a pound of bologna and a loaf of bread and something else for that, about five cents for that half a dozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like you was getting a lot. Now you think back and think what you got for that, but you got 9 cents a dozen for eggs wasn't very much either, you know. And that's the way you had to live. You took your eggs from your chickens and bought what you needed, like your flour and all your staples and stuff. But then you killed your own pigs, and you had your own beef. You killed that, took care of that, and killed your chickens, and grew everything. You grew a big garden then, canned in the summertime, so that you would have stuff to eat in wintertime. That's what you did. You cut wood and stuff for your stove, and so that you didn't have to buy any coal or anything like that. So, because you didn't have anything else to depend on, you didn't have anybody to hand you out some money because you didn't have any. You know. So it was bad, but we got through it.
You remember what streetcars were like?
Well, yes. There used to be one that ran from Adrian through Palmyra and Blissfield and Rega to Toledo. And I rode on it once with my two aunts to Toledo and then back to Rega again. And they used to have a high voltage power line that they ran off of, and they had a something like a hole up there with a wheel on it, and that's where they got their power.
How much did it cost to ride on one?
I have no idea. I didn't.
I think it was about 10 cents, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah. And there was three bridges in Blissfield. They call them what, the triple bridges?
I don't remember.
Anyhow, they was for the streetcar, the train, and also the highway. And in Toledo, that's all you had to get around with, is streetcars on the city streets. Very few automobiles at that time, so that's just about all I know about streetcars. And trains, I never have rode on a train or anything. And that's it.
What were retail stores like?
Well, the grocery stores, they weren't nothing like they are nowadays. You went in with your grocery list, and you told your groceryman what you wanted. Like sugar, you told him how many pounds you wanted. He went and measured it. Like your flour and all that, that all had to be measured out and put in bags. It wasn't all bagged up now. And you didn't go pick up your own stuff. They got it for you. And like your other stores, they had a lot of fabric stores then, because you went in and you bought your fabric to make your dresses and your blouses and stuff, and you bought that by the yard, and you bought your thread and everything. So they had a lot of those. And you had a lot of shoe stores. Of course, you got about 2 pairs of shoes a year. That was all that you could afford. If you wore them out, you went barefoot in the summer. And And they didn't have a lot of stores. Most generally, one town would have one grocery store, one shoe store, clothing store, and stuff. And like the banks, they weren't like they are now. They didn't stay open at night or anything. They was just open in the daytime. You didn't have your stores open till all hours at night. They closed up at 6 o'clock and they were done. And I guess that's about all I can think of about the
Celebrate Christmas or Easter back then?
Well, for Christmas, you didn't have too much money, so you got one present, and the rest were just things that you really needed, and you didn't get too much of that. For Easter, it was a tradition that every morning the family would sit down and eat their breakfast and have a contest to see which one could eat the most eggs. And it seemed like you was frying eggs forever and ever. But they had the boiled eggs, fried eggs, any kind you wanted to eat. And it was fun to see which one could eat the most eggs. Of course, they didn't want to eat nothing the rest of the day, but they might have won a contest or something. But like the 4th of July, they always had fireworks, and you would always get these little sparklers. And we never could wait until it was dark so we could light our sparklers and celebrate that way. And we'd sit out in the yard and watch the fireworks from the towns around. And that was just about...
That's pretty much true today, too.
Yeah, right. They had the big fireworks and stuff, but they'd come and gather from all around. But then you couldn't go too far. I mean, you might have went to your town, but then that's all. You couldn't go any further. You had no way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But And sometimes you had big family gatherings for the 4th of July and had your picnics outside.